was in Galway, I just got to the stage where everything was dark. The only time I was alive was when I was drinking and life and soul of the party, but once after that, it was bad. So one night on the beat, while I was marching up and down guarding the barracks, I just cried out to God. I said every prayer that I could pray, from the Memorare to the Our Father to the Rosary to you name it, crying out to God because of the thought, look, if this is living, I don't want to live. And so I spent that night out on the beat, I'd say for over 8 hours, just crying my eyes out to God, saying, I need help. And about, I'd say, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, went back into the guard room and felt something was different. Didn't know what it was, but felt different. But I decided that day that I was going to transfer from Galway back to Dublin. And I put in for a transfer to go back to Culbra Barracks. And when a month later, which is a miracle because of my record at this stage, because I had been put in the guard room and I had done mad things. The chances of being transferred to another barracks were slim to none. But the miracle was a month later I actually got the okay and I transferred to Culbra Barracks. On my arrival there, they turned around and I was brought in front of the barrack commander. And the barrack commander said to me, right, Feely, we've been looking at your charge sheet. It's like a newspaper. One step out of line and you're back down to Galway. You're on probation for a month. So I said, well, sir, I'm trying to change my life. And I didn't know what I was looking for, but I knew I wanted to change. And a month later, I was brought in front to my company commander. And the company commander, a guy called Commandant Halligan, brings me and I'm standing in front of him and he says, well, Feely, we've been looking at you for the last month. And I'm going, oh, here, what's going to go on? And he turned around and he says, we think you're NCO material. The ground could have opened up and swallowed me. And he says, as of from now, you're acting corporal. Go down to the tailor, get the stripes sewn on your uniform. And with proviso that you go on the next NCO's course, which was the 19th POTS course in Command Training Depot in the Brewer. So I just walked out of the place. I mean, you could have just knocked me over with a feather. I couldn't believe that somebody actually thought something of me to give me this opportunity. Doing my NCO's course, I was with a guy. There was a guy in the course, and he was kind of strange. His name was Sean O'Brien, and he was always kind of like, praise the Lord and hallelujah. And I'm kind of looking at this guy thinking, yeah, nuts, you know. There was something about this guy. He had something. And I remember talking to him and, there's a verse in the Bible that says, that we are the aroma of Christ unto God to those who are being saved. Well, there was a smell that came off this guy. It was, I couldn't tangibly say, but it was like the presence of God. And
was it the odor of sanctity, Jim?
I don't know what it was, but it was. I wouldn't even know what the odor of sanctity looked like or smelled like, but there was something different. It was definitely something different about this guy. We were down training in the Glen of Amal, and I remember one night, Saturday night, he was down one end of the billet, I was at the other end of the billet. I was reading the book, The Exorcist, he was reading the Bible. And he was shouting up to me about, you know, belief in God and whatever. And I was telling him, look, I grew up as a Catholic, and, you know, I would have believed in God, and I always longed to know God in a real way. He says, do you want to come to a meeting tomorrow up in Avoca, you know, in Avoca Manor? And I said, nah, you're out of your tree. No, I'm going to Matt Fenton's, which is down the road, to get absolutely blotted. But between the jigs and the reel, I decided I'd actually go with O'Brien to Avoca Manor, and he was picked up by two guys. Now, I had gone out on the Saturday night and got absolutely legless, so needless to say, I smelled like a barrel when I was getting a lift up to Avoca. And arrived at Avoca, met by kind of what I thought were hippies, long hair, kind of hallelujah, praise the Lord kind of people, and I'm going, whoa, this is weird. And I really did think it was a hippie commie. So anyway, in they come, give us food, turkey drumsticks and carrots and everything, and spuds. And of course there was green stuff in the spuds, and I was thought, this pot? Is this grass? Like, I was expecting to get a buzz out of this fudge, you know? So they weren't a hippie commune. And they did have a prayer meeting afterwards. And I was standing in the prayer meeting towards in one of the rooms. And there are all these young people, you know, worshipping God, hands in the air, singing in tongues and worshipping the Lord. So while I'm watching them, and they sing a song called My Lord, You Are So Good to Me, and I Love You As Long As I Live, and I'll Try Each Day That I Live to Bless You and Give Glory to Your Name. And as they were singing that song, I started to get more angry and angry, because I'd grown up in an orphanage. I've had to fight every single step of the way to get where I was. And they're singing, My Lord, You Are So Good to Me. It was kind of like, nah, this is not happening. And as I was getting angry, at the same time, something else was going on. There was like as if civil war was going on inside me. And I got to the stage where just this was welling up inside me. And I remember turning around and I said, Lord, even though I've been through all that, you have been good to me. And as I did, it was like a dam broke. I just bawled. Every sense of decorum that I would normally have in my kind of hard nut state just fell away. Snots running down my nose as I cried out to God. And I just knew. I just felt the presence of God. In fact, I felt at the time that somebody was pouring a vial of oil down over my head. I could feel this just running down my body. And I don't know what people think about visions or whatever else like that, but in my mind's eye, call it, I could see myself as a little child on a swing. And behind me, as I looked on the small, just right piece of behind the swing, was Jesus standing with his arms open. And another part of it was in the same, I don't know, it was just my mind or whatever else like that, but I remember seeing Jesus standing on the top of a hill. You know that picture of San Paolo with the cross with the two arms like that? Exactly like that, except it was just a person. But I found myself running up the hill and wrapping my arms around him. Now, I would never, wrapping my arms around anybody was the last thing that I would do to anybody, because we never got that when we were kids. But here I was doing it in this, in my mind, whatever, but it's the vision I had. And one of the girls, a girl called Mabel Regan, came over to me and she said, would you like to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior? Well, I would have taken her whole arm off her. I said, yes.